We continue our week-long series looking at how Detroit's functioning under bankruptcy and the leadership of Mayor Mike Duggan. Today, we turn to mass transportation in the city. We're joined by Lester Graham of Michigan Watch and Megan Owens, who's Executive Director of Transportation Riders United. Lester, how many households in Detroit do not have a car?
One out of three households don't have a car, so transit is really important in Detroit.
Because it's everything. You're not going to get to school. You're not going to get to your job. You're not going to get to your doctor's appointment.
Yeah, I mean, you can't get around. And if you're depending on the transit system right as it is right now, you're probably not going to be able to get a job anyway because you're going to be late every day unless you decide you need to leave 3-4 hours early to get there, which is it's a real problem. I mean, jobs are important in Detroit, and people can't get to their jobs.
Well, all right. The question of how am I doing is what kind of we're looking at with Mayor Duggan. What do people in Detroit think? Have things gotten better in the 6 months since the mayor came into office?
You know, I talked to nearly 24 people down at the Rosa Parks Transit Center asking them exactly that question, and the responses were a mixed bag.
They come late all the time. I'm never on time for jobs, and they always come late.
I've seen more of them out there. A little bit more adhering to the schedule.
No, they still run late all the time.
I think you got more buses out here now.
DDOT bus system is terrible.
Now, they have been noticing more buses, and the fact is the city seems to have, if we can believe the DDOT numbers as they tell them to us, seems to have about 40, 50 more buses out there. Dan Dirks told me, he's the director of Department of Transportation, that they're putting out as many as 202 buses in a day. But we have to take their word at that. They used to have a thing called pullout rates, which I learned from Megan Owens at Transportation Riders United, and they stopped posting them on the website.
Megan, what's up with that?
I wish I knew. The pullout rates are an important measure that in this city that most cities don't even look at. It's how many of the buses that are on the schedule to be operating that day are actually on the street operating. And in any other city, anything less than 100%, maybe 99%, is crisis level. In this city, we've been dealing with 70-80% pullouts. So fully 10 or 20% of the buses that are on the schedule are not even operating. And that means all of the rest of the buses are getting overcrowded, and it becomes very difficult to provide that on-time service. It's a real problem.
One would think transparency might be a part of all of this, you know, new approach.
I actually asked Dan Dirks about that, and he says it's a matter of getting to a decent level. It's his preference not to do it. And I think this is a situation where we see the Duggan administration is one of control of information. They only want good news to come out, it seems as if. And I suspect that we won't see those numbers. He actually said, I asked him, shouldn't the public be able to see that? And he said, yeah, they absolutely should. But they're not going to, not until the numbers are what Dirks and Duggan both want to see. Then they'll start posting those numbers again.
And we're looking at, I think I saw, what, about 100,000 people at least try to ride the buses each day?
Yeah, I mean, that's the population each day riding the buses. And, you know, depending on the number of buses, things can go kind of well or not well at all because they don't always get those 202 out on the streets every day.
And that number, really, for the 100,000 people needing it, it needs to be way up closer to 300, doesn't it?
As I recall, about 270 would serve a population of 100,000 or, you know, a rider's ridership of 100,000. The mayor has said he'd like to have 230 that could actually start thinking about real scheduling at that point, but we're not going to see it. And there are a couple of reasons. You know, the buses are old. They're aging. They are working on them. I was in the garage. They were putting a new diesel engine in an old bus. They were trying to get them running. But they're unable to get a lot of fare boxes for many of these buses, so that's keeping some of them off the road. And some of them just aren't going to operate again. Some of these buses are
shot.
Yeah.
Megan, it must feel to you right there with Transportation Riders United, like you're many days you're just trying to push this great big rock up a mountain to try to get a running bus system that, you know, would have the reliability of what a lot of us remember from the DSR days in the 1960s.
Absolutely. Transportation shouldn't be something you have to think that much about. When a system works, The bus is there when you need it. You've got the options. If your car breaks down, you've got another way to get to work. But I talked to a former teacher who said when a student's car failed, that student was going to fail. And that's an outrageous situation when in this city people are struggling to get by. How can people really get ahead if they can't get around?
Yeah, I think in my piece that we aired, Megan said something I thought was really interesting, and that is, you know, people are on the bus, they're riding public transit to either make money or spend money, and that's something that we need in Detroit, and that's not happening because there aren't enough buses to get people where they need to go.
And speaking of money, you were alluding, Lester, to some hope of some federal money coming through. When we think about buying new buses and fixing buses, that is not a cheap fix. How in the world is a bankrupt city going to find the dollars to make that happen?
Well, I think it's those kinds of things are part of the bankruptcy plan. We'll have to see how that all turns out, of course, but it looks like that plus the fact that, you know, fares do help make the payments on some of those things.
Megan, go ahead.
One of the important things to note is that we're dealing with sort of decades of backlog. For years, there hasn't been enough money for the system. And so the things like the preventative maintenance to keep the buses operating haven't necessarily gotten the attention that they ought to. And so if you haven't done oil changes in 2 years, yeah, your engine's going to start seizing up. And so they're trying to deal with some of this backlog, get a regular, reliable schedule of preventative maintenance. And as Dan Dirk said, he is really looking forward to the point where they can move away from measuring pullouts and the number of buses that are actually operating and really focus where he wants to focus more, which is the on-time performance. Can people rely that their bus is going to show up within 5 minutes of when it's scheduled to be? So he's definitely making strides in the right direction, but it's taken a long time to get there.
Yeah, one of the things he'd like to do is text for bus, so you can actually text and find out when your bus is going to arrive at the stop you're at, which is done in other cities, and it's a good program and much more useful than day-old pullout rates. I mean,
they do actually have a text my bus program but it only works about 80% of the time because only about 80% of the buses have the GPS locators on them.
Oh, okay.
So, again, some of those tools that will make the system more reliable, that will make it easier for people to use, and maybe start attracting some choice riders, people who have options, may start coming back to the system once it starts becoming more reliable.
Megan, do you envision a day when the buses will be there on time the way that we remember from the 60s?
I think it will happen. I think it has to happen. I don't think that Detroit can really revitalize and become the thriving city we all know it needs to be and can be if people don't have reliable transportation. That's finally a broad-based recognition, and we've got people in place working to improve it. Now we just need to make sure that we have that consistent focus on reliable, on-time service. We've got to keep a focus on the basics. Before you can build an exciting new light rail train or things of that sort, you also have to have the backbone of the system, those buses, to get people day in, day out where they need to go.
You know, most metropolitan areas figured this out decades ago.
Yep.
And it's just taken Detroit a very long, and the Detroit metro area, a very long time to figure out, hey, this is really important. You know, and part of what, you know, one thing I want to throw in, part of the reason that so many households don't have their own transportation in Detroit is because auto insurance is unbelievably high. Anybody working a minimum wage job or even better cannot afford that auto insurance, let alone car payments and gas and everything else. Detroit needs a mass transit system like no other city in the state.
Every dollar not going into the gas tank, not going into insurance companies, are dollars that can be reinvested into the local community. I do think this lack of a reliable, affordable transit system has been one of the things that's really made Detroit struggle, because a lot of families, a lot of households are spending, those who do have cars are spending 30, 40, 50% of their entire household budget just to insure and maintain and operate those cars so they can get where they need to go. That's money that's not going into healthy food. That's money that's not going into kids' education. That's not money that's not going to local businesses. So this is an issue that impacts everyone. Even if you don't ride, this is an impact for our whole economy.
Megan Owens of Transportation Riders United and Lester Graham of Michigan Watch, thank you so much to both of you.
Thank you.
You're very welcome.